It will be several minutes before I get to the passage, but if you want to go ahead and be turning, it's found in the second chapter of Colossians. Reading four or five verses, looking in particular at only one. Colossians chapter 2. If you're there and you being a child of God and knowing your need or needs and that these can only be filled, be supplied from the Father above, and that's always through prayer, I would ask that you would join with me now as we seek His dear face and ask for His Spirit, for without Him we can do nothing. And especially when it comes to spiritual duties. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we are very thankful that you have left us a record, a sure and certain record, dealing with your being, with the Trinity and the Godhead, with Christ our Lord and our Savior, and the Spirit of God taking that which belongs to the Lord Jesus and showing it unto us. My Father, you know the need, our needs of every individual that will have opportunity to hear. I pray that you might help, that you might provide answers to their problems, that you might be a great strength in their time of need, and instruct us all in Christ, around Him, about Him, and as we come to the written word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I said, it will be a few minutes before we read any of these verses here. But I want to speak to you, that is, make an attempt, hopefully having the Lord to direct and assist in speaking to you about a remedy of being downcast or of being cast down. Your struggles against this, and every child of God will go through periods of time in their life, more than once, when they will be downcast. And your struggles against. But since there is more than one remedy, I will only deal with one today. Now, three times in the Psalms, David asked, speaking to himself, to to his soul, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And then he gives himself reason to be lifted from this dark pit. Hope thou in God. Prior to looking at a salve for this wound, it is a serious wound in which the children will be afflicted with from time to time. But before we begin there, I first of all am speaking today only to a Christian. But if by chance, and this being God's world, God's domain, being an authority over all things, there's no such word in the language of God. Perchance, or by luck, or fortune. Ruth, coming back with her mother-in-law, Naomi, she went out together the next day for them to have grain and food to eat, and it is said that her hap, that is, her chance, she lighted on a field belonging to Boaz, which she will later find out that he is the near kinsman to Naomi. Now, if a lost, unconverted person runs across this message, I would hope that you would not quickly discard it, because I said this is only for a Christian. For God, in his great mercy, might have a word for you. Whether it's the first time or the next time you might listen. I am fully convinced upon the authority of Scripture and the authority of God that there is no person, no individual in this old world outside the mercy and grace that can be found in Christ, if that person feels the weight of sin and guilt, he that calls upon the Lord shall find in due time Christ and his great salvation. Salvation will be found. A sure resting place for a sinner running to him. A certain foundation. It is there for any sinner that will ever flee to Christ. But as I have said to you many times before in the past several years, that it's difficult to find a sinner, at least one that will acknowledge, more difficult to find one that is convinced by the Spirit of God that he is guilty of crimes against the God of heaven, having lived totally here below for himself. Jesus Christ said in John 6, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's good hope for anyone seeking refuge. And time again, I have leaned upon this in similar passages, because I think we all as Christians go through periods when we are uncertain about our salvation, and we begin to doubt, and we run back to Him to find a resting place a certainty. And according to our Lord's own words, you come to me, I won't cast you out. Again, before I set this text before you, reading of these verses, I want to deal with a given, very scriptural fact that can be found in every Christian and their life. And I need turn to no greater example than that of the apostle that was the penman for the most letters and epistles to the New Testament. On the road to Damascus one day, here is the enemy of the Lord Jesus, and one that held the greatest contempt for him because he thought Jesus was an imposter. Man can't be God. And he also thought that this man, being an imposter, not being the one that he said he was, the Son of God, equal with the Father, the two being one, he was set on destroying, that is, this Jesus was set on destroying the faith of his fathers, being taught in the Jews' religion, sitting at the feet of one of their revered instructors, Gamaliel. Saul was intent in wiping out all teachings of Christ. To do this, he set about to destroy all his followers. And on that day, on the Damascus road, he was making another journey to look out, to find, haul off to prison, or haul off to death everyone that named the name of the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But God had a different plan. And in the great eternal mercy of God, Saul met the resurrected Jesus. And seeing that great light, hearing that voice, no man with him hearing, but he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the answer from omnipotent lips, from the very Word of the living God, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Now the light was so blinding to Saul that he had to be led to Damascus. And down there in that blinded condition, he waited 3 days until one Ananias came. Ananias wasn't too willing to go when the Lord commissioned him. And God said, "Ananias, you'll find him praying," which is that every Christian will be found doing. "But Lord, I've heard how he's persecuted the church, and how he set about to destroy the name of every Christian out of this old land." God said, "No, he's a chosen vessel unto me. You go down there and you lay your hands on him, and he shall receive his sight." Now he that had up until this time been persecuting the church became the chiefest and the greatest apostle that the church has ever had. As with every sinner, sometime afterwards. No one can say a week, a month, 3 months. That's not a given. But with every sinner having felt all his sins were forgiven, and with that a great weight was lifted off his back, similar to Bunyan's pilgrim, searching for that place and that one that would tell him what he had to do to get rid of the great weight on his back. And when that weight was lifted and started tumbling down to fall into that vast pit, then the guilt was lifted from Christian, and the guilt was lifted from Saul of Tarsus. I don't know how long after he met the Lord Jesus, and with the weight on him that had been on him previously now gone, every day Saul would one day be named Paul. In his world the sun is shining. It's bright, the birds are singing. Within great peace and joy, wherever he heads and whatever he is called upon to do, the weight being gone, Paul is a free man in the Lord Jesus. But there was another work wherein the Spirit of God would work in Paul's life. That would be God would open his eyes, and he would find out Saul didn't die that day that he met Jesus. He's very much alive. And now his peace, joy, happiness, gladness, it's all gone. All of us, some days or weeks or months after we were first converted, we thought that the peace and joy of God that had flooded our souls finding forgiveness in Christ Jesus, we thought that would be forever throughout our lives. But what Paul learned is true in every Christian's life. Everyone will live with the reality of two natures. I still am the old man that I always was. The only difference is that new creation of God within. God did not do away with the old nature when he converted me. And the days I spent in joy and gladness and happiness, that was God subduing, keeping down, not bringing me into the reality of the old man still alive. But we all wake up one day and you feel yourself once again guilty, once again sinful, and the joy is replaced with sadness, sorrow, and grief, possibly even tears, because you felt completely abandoned. And as you looked over the situation, you were thinking, maybe I wasn't forgiven. Maybe I'm not a child of God. Maybe I'm really not saved after all. And here's where a lifetime battle begins. When I would do good, evil is present with me. So the good that I would do, I don't. But that which I wouldn't do, the evil, that's what I find myself doing. And all of us are like Rebecca. She now is carrying two children. She doesn't know that there are two. But she goes to speak with the Lord about this. Lord, why is there such a struggle and a war within? And the Lord said, because you've got two sons in your womb. One of them is of the flesh. He'll be called Esau. And one is of the spirit. Oh, he'll come out of the womb as a sinner, as a deceitful supplanter. He'll be as is Esau. But one day, that one that you call Jacob, he'll become Israel, a prince having power with God. So we are as Rebekah. We are as Jacob after wrestling with the angel and God granting him strength to win the victory there. Now, as Jacob, as with Paul, and those that go about preaching and declaring that Romans 7 was written, Paul describing his lost condition, will never make me believe that to be true. I know about my fallen condition. I know without him I can do nothing. I know in me there dwelleth no good thing. I know when I would do good or I start to read, especially to pray, or come here to preach to you, I find I have no ability. So there are two of us. There are two of you, if you are a Christian. That's just the work of the Spirit within, bringing the children into the reality of Paul's language in Romans 7. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. As I told you, after conversion, we didn't realize this. We didn't know that we had two natures, but we soon found it to be different. So one day, our old nature seemed to be the strongest. It seemed to be getting the victory. But God would not let that happen. No, it's just the truth of our Lord's words. Remember the Lord Jesus talking to Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Or it could be stated this way, that which is born of the flesh is being flesh. It will continue being flesh until you breathe that last breath here on earth and you're delivered from this old body. and the body will be planted back into the earth, but the spirit, that new man created within in the likeness of the Lord Jesus, and that one without sin, it shall go on to meet the Lord. Later on, as Job said, in my flesh shall I see God. But that's after the flesh has been raised incorruptible. So Nicodemus, born of flesh, you'll always be being flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is always being spirit. It will follow the Lord. It will act as the Lord. It will be the one within that directs our steps. So days after our salvation, we all skipped merrily along until God alarmed us one day with the reality of the complete and utter weakness, inability, and helplessness that we found ourselves to be. And so the words of Christ began to take on a real, true meaning to us. Without Him, I can do nothing. And with the reality of these two natures, we begin learning that in our weakness, we are strong in Him. In my inability to do, I find that I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. So the weaker I find myself to be in Adam, the more I learn of Christ and my strength being found in Him. Not only my strength, but my wisdom and my sufficiency. So now knowing by your first birth how utterly helpless you are, even after salvation, to do anything pleasing to God. And that's an eye-opening experience that we grow into that knowledge. All that is that we face like this, two natures, it is because God will have no flesh glorying in His presence. And now realizing that the new creation of God within, yet it dwells in a body of flesh. And that old flesh is opposed to God. So we now come to the principal text that I want to set before you. First we considered, this is only for Christians. And then we find out that soon or shortly after salvation, we find we still have that old sinful nature. We come to a remedy for being downcast, a help in times of discouragement. Colossians chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse number 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. and ye are complete in him. You are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Having become experimentally acquainted with Paul's language in Romans 7, now you're living with a poverty of spirit, with an insufficiency of your old fallen nature, with your inability to keep the commands of God, living with the inability to walk with God, to hear God, to remain faithful and obedient to the Lord, because of the weakness of the flesh. Nothing good dwells in this old body that I was born with. Nothing. But here you come to the other side of the coin. In myself, I am sinful. In myself, I am without strength, without hope. But in him, I am complete. And I hope the Lord will help you here. Now, as Satan hurls his fiery darts, sometimes it seems that they're continuous for a good while. But he keeps reminding you of the body of sin in which you live. And he keeps trying to take from you the reality of being righteous in Christ. You weren't really saved. If you were saved, you would not have this warfare. If you were saved, you would not have this struggle. I'm trying to convince you, you couldn't be a child of God. But you find that your Father enlivens faith within, enabling you to look above all that you are in Adam. The nature with which I came into this old world, I received from my father, mother, that they received from theirs all the way back to Adam and Eve after the fall. Complete in him, looking above all that I am in Adam, looking now unto the author and finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ. Right now, you nor I see all things. That is, the world and all the things in the world. It looks like total chaos, especially here in our country, when they're making divisions and trying to divide us up. We don't see that under the control of a sovereign God. Your old nature, that is such a great tormentor, an enemy to you, that doesn't seem to be under the feet of the Lord Jesus, Satan's onslaught. Yes, all these things are put under Jesus. We don't see that now, Paul later says, but we see Jesus. And dear ones, you know, if you have any experiential work within you see corruption, death, guilt, doubts, unrest. No security. All these things, when you begin to look within, But looking away, listen to the language of the apostle. Ye are complete in him. All that Christ is, I am. You are. Digging and looking within for peace and assurance. I guess it could be compared to some of us when little boys. We'd find a low place in the earth after a rain, and there would be a big puddle of water. And the more we ran through it and splashed it, we were digging up the mire, the mud beneath. So the more we ran and played in it, the muddier it got. And let another one get close, and we'd chunk a rock just to splatter them. Their clothes would become all covered with mud. Now all that was good, and it was sure was a lot of fun till we got home. Digging around within, you're just going to stir up all this corruption, all the mud, the filth, and the trash that lies beneath the surface. Within all we've got, Jeremiah 17:9, is a deceitful heart, desperately wicked. Jeremiah said, you can't know it. And I fully believe that because of the vastness within, the deceitfulness. It'll tell me I'm a good fellow. But I don't want to listen to that knowing who I am. Job 15. The heavens. Just think that above us. They're not clean in his sight, in God's sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man? Well, I can tell you this. Like David, I was shapen in iniquity, Psalm 51, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Proverbs 28 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. The sad thing that I fear, many such fools are not going to find that out until it's too late and they are in eternity. Knowing something of my fallen nature, knowing something of the sinfulness within, desperately wicked within, shapen in iniquity, I know that to be my heart. And the language of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 15, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts. And he goes on to enable us to see what lies with, but I'm a Christian. You still have that heart filled with these things. So to keep looking within to find hope and assurance or comfort, it's like digging around in a landfill to find something lovely and clean and pure, bright. All that's beneath, it's just utter despair to keep digging within. to learn that there is nothing within to give me hope or peace should cause me to look in some other direction, elsewhere. Where am I to look then? I look around, such a chaotic condition in the world. I look at religion, and there's everything in that that makes me want to run as far from it as I can. But there is one in whom I find my completeness is in Him. Ye are complete. Is Christ holy? Completely spotless, holy, and righteous. In Him, so are you. All that is within this old fallen nature, this old being that causes me so much trouble, is darkness. And the more you keep searching there, the darker things become in your world. And looking within for hope leads only to hopelessness and despair. God never intended on you trying to find security or surety of your salvation looking within. You can't find it there, folk. And the more you look, the more corruption you're going to stir up, and the greater the despair is going to be in your heart. You've just got to look. I am complete in Him. Now, I don't feel that. I'm well aware of my sinful condition, and I have a degree of knowledge of the deceitfulness of my heart. But I don't keep digging there. Don't keep looking within. For I found all that is within, weeds, noxious, poisonous, that which has that killing effect. Too often where religious people are wanting to make that meal out of those wild gourds that one of the sons of the prophet went out to find, not knowing they were wild. That's within us. I need a blossoming rose. I need a lily wherein when the wind blows a sweet fragrance flows. That's not within. Just poisonous weeds. Flowers blossom only looking above. Your peace and your joy and your hope, all which disappeared sometime after you found Christ, then you began looking. Well, I have reason to hope, because on this certain night, at this certain place, in this meeting, I bowed my knee and Jesus Christ saved me. Now, I cannot doubt that, but I don't want you to keep running back there to find hope and assurance. God didn't intend on you looking back at what happened to you 40 years ago He continues on you looking to that hill whence cometh our help. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, which only can come from God. But for me to sit around digging up within, I'm just going to go further and further into despair. But how gracious and how kind the Spirit is to bring us to that place where we find my being complete is in Him. Ever what He is. And He is complete in all things. Then I'm complete in Him. Is He your righteousness? Or are you wanting to perform certain deeds? And you ought to do right. And live right. And talk right. And you ought never, by way of living, bring reproach upon the name of the one that you've taken. But I'm right because Christ is right. I'm righteous because He is righteous. I'm sanctified because Christ sanctified Himself. I have hope, but that hope is only in Christ Jesus. Did God accept the finished work of Christ on Calvary in fulfilling the law for the 33 years that He lived? Well, the only evidence I have that God accepted Him is that there was an empty tomb that first day of the week. So I know I can't keep looking within for my being complete is in Him in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ever what God sees Christ to be, then God sees all His children who are in Him to be exactly as Christ is. I must be without sin. I must have a righteousness that far excels that the law could ever give a person by doing and not doing. In Him, and only in Him. And one way to end up in despair is to continue to look within. Now, folk, it's right. Examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Know how that Christ dwelleth in you. So you've got to search your old heart, but you've got to have the pen light of the Spirit of God to do that. Just make certain your salvation, your election, and your calling. And don't spend all your days looking within. You will end up, children, in a very dark place of despair and utter helplessness. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look solely into His face. Your hymn says the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. But I'll use it to look solely into His face. And therein is your joy and peace. Therein is the certainty of your salvation. Your Redeemer is above, and in Him alone is that found. You, being complete in Him alone is that found, which cannot be found by digging around in a trash pile within. Every believer, from the youngest to the oldest, is complete in Christ Jesus. Every believer is sanctified and wholly robed in His righteousness, the garments of His salvation wrapped around us. All are perfect. Complete, entirely perfect, and without sin. We must be without sin to enter glory. Is He holy? So is every child of God. Is He righteous? So is every child of God. They are as righteous as He. They are as holy as He. They are as forgiven as any in Him. And that's fully and completely. And when the Spirit of God brings an awareness of sin to light in your mind and heart, flee immediately to Him. Wherein alone is found forgiveness. It was that God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. Not because I made a decision. Because I decided one night I'll walk the aisle and accept Jesus. God made Christ, who is our salvation, our righteousness, our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption. God did that. And your hope lies above. Now we have reason for a good hope within. But that good hope within is only found in Christ Jesus, who alone is our hope. A young man that I think he was only 29, like David Brainerd here in the States. Robert McMary McShane. And he left us with this. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. Now the word complete means to make full, to fill to the full. I can't hold anything more. As a glass is filled to that point where one drop added would bring an overflow. You in Him are filled to the full and complete also means an end. He is the end of my salvation. He is the end of my hope. And of all that God has done, it's been done in, through, and because of Christ Jesus. So I would, in closing, dear souls, encourage you to make certain your salvation, but don't always be looking within for comfort. Sometimes that brings greater despair than providing any comfort. Just continue looking to the Lamb of God.